Yes, sir. I can barely hear you. Still breaking up. I don't know if the signal is bad or something, but you're breaking up. Okay, Apostle, you still there? All right, y'all, we're going to get him back in a moment. Hallelujah. We're going to get Apostle Taylor back on in just a moment. Apostle Taylor, you still there? Okay, Apostle Taylor, you still there? Gentlemen, I apologize for the technical difficulties. Not sure why he's not sure exactly what's going on here. We're gonna get to the bottom of it in just a moment. Everybody for just a moment until we locate Apostle Taylor. I ask that you, if you have any background noise, just to
conference unmuted.
Okay, all right. Apostle, are you on? Okay. Apostle Taylor's back on the line. Yes.
Can you hear me now, my friend?
Yes, sir, I can. I apologize for the technical difficulty. Not quite sure where that's coming from. Actually, from the beginning, you started messing up. The scripture from Job is what you left off at.
Okay, tremendous. Okay, well, I'll go back over that.
Okay.
What I was saying is, you asked why dreams are important, and I want to say this to everyone listening: dreams are important because Job, God speaks through Job, and these words come out. It says, "God speaketh once."
Yes.
Yet twice in a dream, yet man perceiveth it not, in visions upon the bed while men are asleep. So one of the biggest keys why dreams are important, man of God, is because God speaks through them.
Yes.
And as I was saying, you know, in our generation, we are so inundated to wanting to hear the voice of God, which is nothing wrong with that, but our ways of hearing God are very limited to hearing a prophet speak to us, and there's nothing wrong with that, or hearing God in our prayer time.
Yes.
But we cannot limit God. God has many forms of speaking, but dreams is his ancient form of communication.
Wow.
That is, God deals in realms. Let me say it like this. God deals in realms, and he speaks to us in the church realm. Like he says, God has set some in the church first, apostles, then prophets. God used prophets to speak to his people in the church realm. And I'm not saying he can't use a prophet to speak to a nation.
Yes.
But usually, when you have when you have kings of nations, like in Joseph's time, like the king of Egypt, God spoke to him in a dream.
Yes.
He didn't send a prophet to tell him there's going to be a famine.
Yes.
Okay? He came to that man personally, and then he sent Joseph as an interpreter to interpret what God had already said to him. You get what I'm saying?
Yes,
and
sir.
So, dreams is so much bigger than a church gift. It is not a church gift. It is a kingdom gift. And a kingdom encompasses all. Church is like limited to a certain group of people. That's why, you know, the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit. It says even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive.
Mm.
The world can receive Jesus.
Yes.
So you got to know the different realms. And so the dream realm falls into a category of God talking. That's why God will speak to people who are not even saved in dreams. A lot of you listening, I'm sure when you weren't even saved, God was giving you dreams and protecting your life. I've heard a lot of people who God is communicating with. The king of Egypt wasn't saved. He didn't believe in God, but the Lord talked to him in a dream. So, does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Yes.
And a lot of times we're so familiar with one way of God speaking. I don't know who that is, but if you have any background noise, please mute your line, please. Everybody who has background noise, please mute your line. Amen. I'm gonna find you and I'm gonna mute you. Amen. Yes, but we are so familiar with one way of God speaking that we ignore all the other ways that He speaks. And I believe that that's where we get mixed up, because we look for God to come just one way, you know. And I think we've become so familiar with the, like you were saying, the prophetic realm, you know, with God speaking through a prophet, that we ignore that God, the fact that God wants to speak personally to us, and that could be communicated in a way through dreams. There's another.
And I would like to say this.
Yes.
That God, that's the key. That God don't want us dependent on one way He speaks to us.
Yes.
Or one way He speaks through us. Because so many have got dependent on the prophetic. Like, for instance, the thing with the Super Bowl that happened. I had one prophet say to me, please don't embarrass the prophetic no more. And, you know, I laughed at that, because dream realm has nothing to do with the prophetic.
Uh-huh.
Although God said He would speak in dreams to a prophet, dreams will come in the prophetic office. But the dream realm that I'm trying to reintroduce to the world is it's a whole different realm by itself.
It's a whole different. Amen.
Ancient thing by itself.
Yes.
So it is so important to understand that and understand the different realms and the different zones.
Amen. Amen. That is so true. Now, I noticed that, you know, the dreamers don't have much of a place in the church anymore. So my question would be, where is the placement of the dreamer in the modern day church? And how can this office be restored to the church?
Well, that's the point. That's one of the missions the Lord gave me.
Yes.
When He appeared to me and told me to write the book on face to face, and He said, the second thing you would do is write a book on dreams. And I don't know what's all that background music or talking, but, you know, we need to make sure that's not interrupting the flow here.
Yes.
I want all of you to make sure your phones are muted, that you're nowhere around anyone talking, because we can hear you. Okay, that interrupts the flow of the Holy Spirit. Let me say this to you. The Lord told me the second book and the second mission you would do in the earth is restore a lost ancient office.
Mm.
And that's what I've been trying to do. And I believe that's why there was such a big attack with the Super Bowl thing, because one of the things that I'm trying to do right now is I'm trying to restore that office to the body of Christ. Now, a lot of people talk about dreams in different pockets of the body and in different camps, but they have not restored the office. The office is a level of authority. And so one of the ways we got to do that is to make this aware. First of all, there are people who don't even know that dreaming is an office.
Mm.
If you read the Bible, Joseph was not just a prophet, he was a dream officer.
Wow.
You never hear it talking about that Joseph was a prophet. It says that he was a dreamer. I don't know where's all that talking in the background.
I'm working on it, Apostle.
Yes. So anyway, Joseph was a dreamer. He was not a prophet. He was a dreamer. They said, "Here come that dreamer." All throughout history, you never hear that Joseph was a prophet. Now, you can have both offices. You could be a prophet and a dreamer. Daniel had both. Daniel was a prophet, but he was also a dreamer. And it also says, to clarify this in Deuteronomy, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, it mentions the office of the prophet and then the dreamer of dreams in the same context, which it says or. That means it's a different office, a different administration. So a dreamer of dreams, they knew about this office in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament. But in our generation, that teaching has been lost, and that's one of the things I'm trying to do, because when these dreamers come back on the scene and this army that God is raising up, we will be able to avert disasters like that tsunami that happened in Japan. Do you not know there are people who dreamed about that before it happened?
Wow.
But because we don't have a system of honor set up to honor those who dream, then that those kind of messages or dreams could not be sent in for no foot to the proper authorities to make any preparations.
Mm.
Well, the kings in the Old Testament, when they had dreams, they would call in dream officers, like the king of Egypt. He saved his whole nation as a result of having honor for a dreamer, and he made him second in command in his whole kingdom. That's another thing I teach about dreamers, is that they are not the sun, but their realm of authority is the moon.
Wow.
Dreamers work better with a ruler, not apart by themselves.
Mm.
And this is why dreamers who are in churches also got to watch it, that, you know, they start dreaming about things in the church and they're accurate, and then they get arrogant and they don't want to submit to the pastor anymore. And I found out most of those people usually fall off, or God don't ever fulfill that much anything in their life because they get arrogant. You got to understand that dreamers, that's why the moon rules the night. Dream is a gift of the night.
Yes.
It falls in the moon category. So what I'm saying, when Joseph had a dream about the moon, the sun and the moon bounding him, he knew it was his father was the sun, his mother was the moon. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so the stars was his brothers, but the sun is always indignant of a top authority, like a king.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the king made Joseph second in command to him. He didn't put him over him, but he said, "I need you to be second in command." Well, today, dreamers are not even that. No one promotes them, because in our generation, the church haven't even got a revelation of how important this office is. They understand now how important the prophet is. They understand how important the apostle, the pastor is. Mostly they understand how important a pastor is, but they don't understand how important a dreamer is.
Mm.
And so dreamers have the authority in the realm of, watch this, the world, not just the church.
Mm.
They have the ability to make our living conditions a safe place for future disasters.
Mm.
And this is why our presidents, those in authority in the political realm, need to embrace this. But it must first be embraced by the church. The church must present someone like that to them. But if the church don't have the revelation of who these people are, then how can they present them to our president or to people like that and say, "You all need to, let us show you something here. This is important." We saw the disaster that happened in Japan before it happened. And so my thing is to do that now, and to also set up a system whereby people from anywhere all over the world can email. I'm trying to get the government to set up a dream system. that's eventually my vision for America and all nations, is to get them to, just like they got set up by intelligence, other things with the CIA, the Central Intelligence Agency, but we need to have a Central Intelligence Agency dealing with dreams where anybody can send their dream about anything. Now, you know you're going to have a lot of people who may be off, but that don't matter. You can't focus on that. You got to focus on what's right.
Yes.
So just think if they had some that could filter, just like they know how to filter terrorists because they have all this information. If they start filtering people who are sending dreams, and so say if out of the whole nation, 300 million people send in dreams right before the tsunami, and about 100,000 or maybe 50,000 people dreamed about Japan, they would have a record to see patterns. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
So this is what God, one of the things he's told me to do, to set up a whole dream administration over this nation, and to set a prototype that other nations can follow.
Wow. You know, I never, and I'm just speaking about myself here, I never thought of the dreamer actually being a whole office. But even as you was, you know, speaking, you know, it really makes sense. You know, I know personally in my own life, there could have been things that was avoided, you know, if I would have heeded certain dreams and certain warnings from God. And I definitely believe that, you know, this thing is being revived in the church, you know, and as we embrace it and embrace those who are dreamers, and we actually listen to what God is speaking to them, I believe that, you know, not only could we avoid certain dangers, but I even believe that there are directions that can be given in dreams as well.
Exactly.
Yes, indeed.
You know, it's about saving lives. That's
yes.
what it's all about.
Yes.
That's why God gives dreams. That's what Joseph said at the end of his life. He said, God brought me all this way that I may save much people alive.
Yes.
So that gift brought salvation. And it says that in Job, it says a dream officer is God's ransom. It says that God says he may show someone a dream of dying or being killed or going down to the pit, but if there is a dreamer with him that can interpret and show him what God is saying, God will be merciful and he will say, I have found a ransom. So we know what a ransom is. It's to give your life for somebody else's.
Yes.
It's to pay the price. Well, Jesus was a ransom on the cross. Well, that's what these people are like, these dream officers. We are ransomed to keep lives from being killed. We ransom. The gift is the ransom for salvation.
Wow.
So when all of Egypt would have died, Joseph was the ransom. His gift was the ransom. His life was the ransom. One other thing about this is, and this is so tremendous, Abraham Lincoln would have never lost his life. He would have never lost his life if there was someone in his life to tell him what the dream meant. He had a dream, and in the dream, he saw three people mourning over a coffin. He walks up to them and said, what are you crying about? And they just said, the American president has just been assassinated. Well, he wakes up out of that dream and don't understand what it means. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so, because he don't understand what it means, he mentions it to his wife. She can't interpret it. 3 days later, he's assassinated. Now, this is in the history books. This is in the history books. He's assassinated 3 days after he have a dream of his death. Now, if I was there, I could have told him the three people represented 3 days. Because the Bible says men's days are like a shadow. So the Bible, God speaks in parables.
Yes.
Dreams is his parables. And so one of the reasons why it's important for people, all of us in the church, to develop the dream life and the dream gift is so that, and not to be lazy. See, most people just want to hear a word from a prophet. They just want to hear it plainly. But when you start studying dream language, you start understanding God's symbols, you start getting a lot of understanding about how God thinks about things. Your whole vocabulary about God expands. You don't depend on someone else just to give you a word, that you can communicate with God and have a relationship with Him yourself. And so that's what really dream language, you got to really have a relationship yourself with God to be able to interpret. And that takes work. That takes years of study. That takes years of walking with God. There was this other young lady who had a husband. They were a young couple, and he bought a motorcycle, and she had a dream three times that he got killed on that motorcycle. And she wakes up out of the dream and tried to help him and ask him to get off the bike or leave it alone or stop riding it because of the dream she had. Well, he does it for about 7 days and go back to it, and he's killed the very day he goes back. Well, like you said, lives can be saved and spared. How many times have God shown dreams and people have lost their lives just because they didn't hear what God was trying to say? And so I'd rather err on the side of trying to help a lot of people than being afraid of missing it.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And that's what a lot of prophets are about. They're more into arrogance about their accuracy than they are saving lives.
Mm.
I don't care about being so accurate to call somebody's name or to be accurate in a prophecy, although we want to be accurate. My main heart is not to produce pride and accuracy, but to produce effectiveness and purpose in saving people.
Mm.
And that's the key. And although we need accuracy for salvation, you understand, what I'm saying is we can't put all emphasis on accuracy, because you can be accurate, and in the end, the Bible says, without charity and love and compassion for the real purpose of the thing, you still profit nothing. So that's what I'm saying there. Did that make any sense to you?
Yes, sir, it does. It does, and I'm pretty sure it's making sense for a lot of people that are listening right now. Because a lot of people are afraid of missing it, you know, and this is why, you know, they don't speak their dreams or they don't give what God is giving them. And I can remember, my mind went back to when you spoke about saving lives. My mind went back to even when I was a younger man, in my mid-teens. You know, that's when I was, you know, doing a lot of, you know, smoking weed, and, you know, I was doing a lot of drinking and you know, running the streets. And my grandmother and my great grandmother both had the same dream, that I was out there and I was smoking weed, and I had dropped dead and I went to hell. And I mean, both of them had the same exact dream. The Lord showed them in a dream that I was smoking weed, you know, and not knowing the prior day before that, I had smoked some bad weed and I fell out flat on my face. I had to go to the emergency room and everything, you know. I fell out flat on my face, and pretty much, you know, my great grandmother told me, she said, look, she said, the next time you smoke another thing, she said, it might be your last. So, you know, me, you know, I was scared for about a day, you know, and I went back to doing what I was doing. But at one point in time, I could almost feel like death was following me. I felt like if I didn't get my life straight sooner or later, you know, I was going to die. And that was a warning from God saying, I'm giving you grace, you know, right now. But there's going to come a point in time where, you know, you're gonna pretty much exhaust that, and, you know, you're gonna drop dead. So, needless to say, I'm still here because I changed my life, you know. But if I wouldn't have took heed to that warning, you know, that was given to save my life, you know, I wouldn't be here speaking with you right now. I'd be dead and in hell.
See, that's what I love. Your testimony is so great, and let me tell you why. Because they were a ransom for your life.
Yes.
What I've learned about God is when somebody is about to die and go to hell, because He's into saving people's lives so much, He will try to find someone around you that really loves you and
yes.
give them the dream about the future, what's about to happen, so that he can stop it.
Yes.
You see, if God don't get in front of it, he can't stop it.
Yes.
That's why God controls everything, mostly when we have a heart to repent too, but sometimes there's a sovereignty when God do things that has nothing to do with us, because he is the Omega. He's the Alpha and the Omega. And he's been giving me this revelation about him being the Omega.
Wow.
And a lot of people know God as deliverer. They know him as healer. They know him as savior. But they don't know him as Omega in their life.
Wow.
He don't just say he's Alpha and Omega for nothing. He's the beginning and the ending. That means he controls the end of your life.
Mm.
So the Lord says to Samuel, he says, when I begin, I will also end the thing. So God never starts something he don't end in the beginning. He ends everything before he even begins. It says that Jesus was slain from the foundation of the world.
Yes.
He was slain in the beginning. Jesus died on the cross before Adam ever messed up. And so in order for God to legally control and keep the victory and to be major steps ahead of the enemy, he ends a thing while he's starting it.
Wow.
He ends it before he really begins it. In the beginning, he does it. And so you got to understand that he's the Omega in our life, and that means he controls the future. Well, dreams is that kind of gift where he operates sort of like in the Omega realm.
Yes.
Where he shows you the future while you're in the present, so that he can control your outcome, so
wow.
you can have victory. Anyway, that's just a... It says his desire is to give you an expected end. See, God is about end. It says better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. God's Omega powers are stronger than his Alpha.
Wow.
And so dreams fall in that realm of the Omega zone, or the Omega powers of God.
Mm.
That sovereign power where he has the ability to reset the whole day. He has the ability to reset the future for you. Dreams is one way he tries to do that. Like Jesus said, in the end time, it will be so wicked. He says he will have to shorten the days for his elect's sake. So he already knew that was going to happen. He's going to control the sun and the moon to control and shorten the days, just like Joshua did, just to get people saved. Because he says, if I don't do that, no flesh will be saved. That I have a covenant with my elect, I have to control the end, the outcome of this thing. And so, one of the things I've been teaching on lately is the Omega realm of God. And so, dreams, because it's a future gift. It is a gift to see the future operates in that realm. And a lot of people understand how powerful that is. Because if you can see the future, you can control the outcome.
Yes.
If you can be ahead of the game, you can change everything.
Mm.
And so, anyway, another thing that I want to say to everyone listening, we're talking about the dream office. And I also want to say to everybody listening, I'm about to do a massive crusade against cancer. And I want y'all to bring people to Michigan, Taylor, Michigan, who got cancer. There are people that's going to gather from all over the world. We're going to see a lot of people healed of cancer. But let me say this. While we're talking about dreams, I was speaking to you about the office, and you're saying most people don't know the difference between the office of the dreamer and the prophet.
Yes.
So both of them kind of sort of operate in the same kind of zone gifts, because as you know, a prophet speaks forth for God. He speaks the future. See what I'm saying? He speaks the future. He prophesies future events.
Yes.
While dreamers see future events.
Mm.
Dreamers, now I'm not saying prophets can't see. That's why they're called seers. But usually they are proclaimers. But the dreamer is the one who sees the future. And that's why he didn't get the word of knowledge, but the word of wisdom operates strongly to give you the instruction of what you need to do. Well, so I was teaching the difference between the office of the dreamer and the office of the prophet. The Bible says If you believe in the Lord, you'll be established. Believe in his prophet, so shall you prosper. But prosperity comes with the office of the prophet. We know that if you believe the prophet, God will let you prosper. But with a dreamer, prosperity operates differently. It says that Joseph was a prosperous man. And it says, and God blessed and prospered Potiphar's house for Joseph's sake.
Mm-hmm.
And everything in the house and the field was blessed because, this is the thing, when he promoted Joseph, so he not only believed in him, but he promoted him to be the second in command in his house. When he did that, everything was blessed. So prosperity falls to a prophet's life when you believe them and honor them. Your honor for a prophet, it's got to be different. You can't just say like you do a prophet, I honor your words. A dreamer, you got to promote them. You got to promote them for their gift to bless your whole life. You have to allow them into your sphere of authority.
Mm.
I will bless that. Well, the whole blessing fell upon Potiphar's house. Now, how can that happen? He a slave. And just the presence of God on his life is causing everything in that man's house to be blessed.
Wow.
Because prosperity is not money. It's a spiritual endowment from God.
Mm.
And so I believe when this nation embraces dreamers, it will prosper more. When a church embraces dreamers, prosperity will fall on that place.
Mm.
When ministries embrace the dreamers in their lives, prosperity will fall. And so that's one of the things. So a prophet gets information by what he sees in his sleep. A dreamer gets information by what he sees in his sleep. Prophets get more information by what they hear from God. So, although seeing and hearing is strong in the prophetic realm, the hearing and speaking are the stronger qualities of the prophet. But in the office of the dreamer, seeing at night in the dream is the stronger qualities.
Wow.
Sight.
Wow. Yes, indeed. That's some rich stuff here. I'm glad this is being recorded. I want to go back to something that you had mentioned earlier. You had touched a little bit on being able to interpret dreams, because a lot of people have dreams, but they're not, you know, skillful in interpretation. How does one become skilled in interpreting their dreams?
Well, this skill takes some time. Like it says about Daniel.
Yes.
Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, all of them were together when they first started out. We see Daniel went further with them. But it says they had understanding in all science and all natural wisdom as well.
Mm.
And one of the things about interpreting dreams is that you got to develop the skill to understand natural wisdom.
Mm.
Like when the Bible says, go to the ant, consider the ways and be wise.
Yes.
Your wisdom have to also derive from life in order to interpret dreams, because dream is God's parabolical language. Like when David would say, deliver me from my darling from the dogs. Or Jesus would say, give that not which is holy to dogs, neither your pearls to swine. Well, we know he was talking about men.
Mm-hmm.
But that's dream language. You see, when you see a dog in the dream fighting you or barking at you, that means a man or a person, or could be a man or a woman, is about to turn on you and about to persecute you. Dogs represent persecution from people.
Mm.
Swine represent unclean, unsaved people who don't care about holy things.
Mm.
And so dogs will ring you. So, you know, I know in the natural, a dog is a man's best friend. That is the natural interpretation. But in the Bible, dogs are always referred to as something not good. It says, beware of dogs, which is the circumcision, which is really religious people. God refers to religious people as dogs. He says, don't give that which is holy to them. Well, we know the Pharisees and Sadducees were dogs.
Yes.
They persecuted Jesus and they turned on him.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? They have the nature of the dog. And so he uses natural animals that he created to give about a spiritual saying or his voice about a particular person or a subject.
Mm.
So when you don't study certain things in the natural, how can you know? For instance, when Joseph interpreted that baker's dream where he saw the birds eating the bread, he saw a tree on the butler's head and or the baker's head, and he saw the fowls eating it off his head. Well, I mean, for years I couldn't interpret that. I kept saying, and I just like to be honest and put myself in the Bible, I used to say back then, I would have never gotten it. How did that mean he's gonna die? Joseph's interpretation to that butler or that baker was, you're gonna die in 3 days. But that dream that he had didn't look like it was going to die. I said, how did Joseph get that?
Mm-hmm.
I can't understand, how did God give him the revelation of that? See, we talk about being skillful in interpreting. I said, how is that? But then when the Lord brought me to Daniel, they had wisdom and understanding in natural things. Well, Joseph knew what that meant, because when you study birds or the kind of birds that man had in his dream, we know that birds, when something is about to die or is dead, birds circle over the head of us.
Yes.
They fly around, don't they? Well, that means death. They all, vultures and buzzards, always circle around overhead when something is about to die. You see on those animal channels, Discovery or,
yes,
or all of the animal channels, when they see that a lion is about to take down a carcass, the thing won't even be dead, but you'll see the birds start flying around over top of their heads because they know something is about to die. Well, that's what he knew. I said, wow. But just knowing that simple science in the natural life, that's why God commands us, go to the ant, consider her ways and be wise. We're to study animals. We're to study natural things because God's voice is in those things.
Yes.
That's one of the ways you train yourself. Another way you train yourself is to understand that dreams is God's parabolical language. Dreams is God's parabolical language. In other words, he don't speak directly. He speaks indirectly through hints, in the windows,
yes,
and clues. That means you have to study.
Mm-hmm.
And so one thing I've done is I've put together this big dream dictionary right now. It's the biggest one in the world.
Wow.
And it'll be finished very soon. But I take every symbol, every place where the Lord speaks in parables to anything, I get the interpretation of it throughout the whole Bible. Any dream God gives you can be interpreted with the Word of God, because there are dream symbols and parables from God in the Word. And so here it is, Jehovah is speaking in parables through dreams in the Old Testament, which is his parabolical language. And here comes his son in the New Testament teaching in parables. He says, I do that which I see my Father do.
Yes.
That's another verification that dreams is from the New Testament. Jesus' parabolical teachings verify him following his Father's pattern. Go ahead. Because I've heard so many people say, well, you see God speaking in the Old Testament in dreams a lot, but in the New Testament, they're not that mentioned. But they are mentioned, not as much, because the people already knew it was established. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Even the birth of Christ was established through a dream. I mean, just so many other things. Dreams were taking place all the time. God gave Herod's wife a dream about not messing with Jesus. You know, he was speaking to sinners and Christians in dreams, even during the time of Christ. The Bible says when the Holy Spirit is poured out, there will be a release of dreams and visions.
Yes, yes.
So dreams is for the New Testament. And I don't know how these people come up with all these lying doctrines that dreams are the Old Testament form of communication from God. It is still the New Testament form of communication with God. God ain't limited. And
yes.
So I want to pull out a scripture where when Saul, when the Holy Spirit departed from him, the Bible says, when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by prophets, nor by the Urim and Thummim, nor by dreams. And so one of the teachings that I do is dreams are answers from God. Now, when you're seeking guidance, you pray during the day. When you go to sleep at night, God will give you a dream about the very things you plan about, because they're answers. But fall into a zone to where the Holy Spirit departed from him, and God wouldn't even talk to him in dreams anymore. So one of the things I teach is that there's a danger in not dreaming. There's a danger when you don't dream.
Wow. There it is. Now, there's another thing concerning dreams, too, that I've heard many people say, and I'm concerning, you know, can dreams be perverted? I've heard of people even saying, you know, they've had, you know, spiritual attacks in their dreams. Is that possible?
You gotta remember, Lucifer was God's son. Still God's fallen son. And when Moses threw down his rod, cherubs and jackals can do the same thing and turn their sticks into a snake.
Yes.
So you gotta understand that Satan knows the dream realm. He lived in heaven. He was around the globe. He knows how God operates. So let me say this. You can be attacked in your dream. Satan will try to attack you in the dream realm. But you gotta know what to do. And so, the dream realm can be, Satan can try to bring perversion in the dream realm. And one of the things I thought you said at first, but it's an important subject, I see you understand it, is that can dreams be averted? They can be perverted, and they also can be averted. And God gives you the dreams to avoid certain things. But some dreams will not, certain things will not stop what God is showing you from happening. He's just telling you ahead of time to take the power out of the circumstance. For instance, the king of Egypt saw a dream that the famine was coming. But when Joseph interpreted that dream, he says, God has shown you what he is about to do. This wasn't the devil. Most Christians today would have said, Pharaoh's dream, that's the devil, we got to pray against the famine. But Joseph had enough wisdom to know, no, the devil is not bringing it. This is not a perversion from the devil. This is God bringing the famine. But here's the wisdom of God in the midst of that, so you can have victory, and so the world can too. So, you know, some dreams are God just showing you what's going to happen, and he want to give you the wisdom. Like, I've had dreams about where the ministry is going in the future, how big we're going to get, way bigger than what we are now. But we're fairly large, but I'm talking about, just gigantic. Well, I've had dreams about the media attacks that's coming. I already know they're coming. I saw dreams. I already know what to do. He showed me in dreams. The Omega has shown me the end of what to do in that circumstance. And so God will sometimes show you a dream and it looks like it's already happening. He said to do this. That means he's not going to change the thing or stop it from happening. He's just going to give you the wisdom to do it, to know what to do. So, yes, dreams, perversion can try to come through dreams, but aversion, averting bad things can happen. And sometimes averting the power of the bad thing can happen through dreams. Sometimes God, like I said, will not change that the thing he's showing you is going to happen. He just changes you and give you the wisdom to weather it, to have victory in the midst of it.
Wow.
That's powerful.
Yes, it is. Very powerful. Wow.
So I want to say this. That rules out the spirit of fear. Because a lot of people wake up, they see bad dreams, and they have fear in their heart. And God don't give us the spirit of fear. The spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And when you wake up out of a warning dream and you feel that fear hit your heart, you got to understand that God, there's power in the midst of that dream. God wants to empower you to overcome. He's not trying to put fear in you about a thing. He's trying to empower you about a thing.
That's powerful, and I know that's life changing for a lot of people. What you just mentioned. We've been on the line for almost an hour now. I want to ask you this. I heard you mention this before. You was teaching something on dreams, and I heard you mention this before about dreaming according to your rank. Now, I know rank is a word that a lot of people hate in the body, but it is something that's very biblical. Could you explain dreaming according to your rank?
Say that one more time. Can I do it now?
I'm sorry. Explain dreaming according to your rank, because I know a lot of people never heard that before. People hate the word rank because they associate it with dictatorship. You know.
And it's dealing with an army and dealing with order.
Yes.
And because there's so much jealousy, competition, and equalizing among the body of Christ, people don't want to respect each other's rank. But some have greater rank than others.
Yes.
And God has set things so, but they have to be willing to accept that there's a rank to the fivefold ministry.
Yes, it is.
God has set some in the church first apostles, secondarily prophet. The Holy Spirit mentions first, second, third.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so there's a rank to it. Rank deals with order.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the army, you don't want, everybody in the army is not generals. Everybody can't be a general. God don't make everybody a general.
Yes.
You understand? But he anoints people in their prospective areas.
Yes.
That's why it says all apostles are all prophets are all pastors. No. Everybody don't have the same function. But we need to identify each other what our rank are. Well, the same thing is in dreaming. Any zone or ramp God has, it has an order to it. And so you dream according to your rank, or you dream according to your responsibility. Yeah, like that.
Mm.
Like, for instance, a king, like the king of Egypt, he dreamed about his country, that there will be a famine. He's responsible for the people. So his dream was about his people and about the famine coming upon his land. So kings dream about their kingdoms.
Mm.
A father would dream about his son. But if he a husband too, he'll dream about his wife. Pastors dream about their congregation. But as a husband, they dream about their wife.
Mm-hmm.
A wife, her rank, these are offices. A husband is a rank, it's an office. A wife is a rank, it's an office.
Mm.
Well, when wives start having dreams about their husband, they're dreaming out of that rank, out of that zone, out of that authority realm God is giving.
Mm.
And so Paul talked about the measure rule principle.
Yes.
God, he says, I will not extend above my measure of rule. Well, that's rank. When you know your rank, you don't go over that boundary.
Yes.
You don't break rank. The Bible speaks in Joel about the end time army. They won't break rank.
Mm-hmm.
When you start to understand rank, you understand who you are, and then when you wake up out of these dreams, you say, I'm dreaming as a husband now. God is speaking to me in the area of my responsibility of being a husband to my wife. He's showing me this about my wife, and I need to help her.
Mm.
Or a wife about her husband.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you have dreams about the children, you're dreaming as a father, or you're dreaming as a mother. You see, these are two different hats.
Yes.
You start dreaming about your church, you're dreaming as a pastor, right? When you start dreaming as a boss about your job and as a manager, and you have dreams about your job, that's you're responsible for the people there. So you dream according to your responsibility. So inventors have dreams about inventions. Sports players have dreams about their sports. Everybody dreams in their area. And that's why when I did the Super Bowl thing, a lot of people didn't understand. They thought I was getting off thinking I'm getting out of the kingdom work by talking about sports. And it ain't that. God is in sports. He speaks in that realm. Just like I just heard about in the World Cup, the man who won the gold, he talked about how he had a dream a few days earlier in his sleep that he would win.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? So God is talking. Jack Nicklaus won the world championship in golf because he dreamed about it. God showed him what to do. So you dream according to the sphere of influence you're around. your responsibility. God is speaking to you in the areas of your responsibility. So then we start to talk about dreaming according to rank. We're talking about classifications too. That if what are your dreams? You dream on four or five different levels. The top level is an eternal level.
Mm.
The next level is a world level. The next rank under that is a national level. Okay, and then after that, you dream on a individual level and then a personal level. There are more, but I'm going fast because I know our time is limited. But when you dream on an eternal class level, you dream like Daniel did. You see all the kingdoms of the earth. See, if you dream on an eternal class level, you're going to dream on a world class level or national. All it covers all of them. Well, Daniel dreamed about the next kingdom, that God's kingdom would crush all other kingdoms. He dreamed world. He dreamed about world leaders rising up throughout the years and who would end it. He also dreamed about the Son of God coming, and he dreamed about God's throne in heaven in the future, how Jesus was brought before God and was made to sit on the right hand of God and was given to him a kingdom and dominions and peoples and nations serving him.
Mm.
Well, that's eternal class dreaming. Like that. So when God starts showing you what's happening in the next world, you dream about the next world.
Mm.
Well, when you start have world-class dreams, you dream about world events.
Mm.
When you dream national, you dream about national events. The ranking is different. You see what I'm saying? And then you could dream on a city level. You could dream on a community level. You could dream on an individual level where you're dreaming about other people around you, or you're dreaming personally. Some dreams are just for you. God is trying to talk to you about you.
Mm-hmm.
Like we all have had those kind of dreams where we dream about our character or things that God want to do in our life. All those kind of things. That's what he's talking to you personally.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make any sense?
Yes, it does. It makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. And I know that clarified a lot of things concerning ranking in dreams that many people misunderstand. I know everybody that's listening right now. I know that, you know, this is a lot to take in, but you can definitely go back to the archives and listen to this again. Matter of fact, I would advise you to do so. Praise God. I think you can even download this as well. Apostle Taylor, if you don't mind, could you pray concerning the people right now in the area of dreams?
Yes. You know that I'm doing a big crusade.
Yes, sir.
41 days from now in Taylor. I want you all to mobilize everybody you can and bring a bus.
Yes, sir.
Because we are breaking the principality of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people being healed. And I want all leaders to come in and mobilize. We have so many coming in. And I want to say this to you all. Even if you don't have cancer, if it's another sickness you have, God will heal that. And even if you're whole, we need your supply of faith and the
yes.
Spirit just to come and join with us to see other people heal. It says the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And so I want your faith so we can save the sick. So you can come and pray with that faith, and we will save the sick from disease, from cancer, from whatever other addictions or demonic sicknesses or infirmities.
Amen.
So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your people on this phone. I pray for every single person listening. I pray, Lord God, that dreams will open up to them. And God, as we begin to open the school of dreams, you told me, and I finished the 25 books, including the Dream Dictionary you told me to write. That is the biggest one in the world. I pray now that everyone who's listening, Lord God, that they will become strong dreamers and interpreters in the name of Jesus. Open their understanding to revelation. I give you praise. I give you glory. Wonderful Jesus. Lord, thank you for those who have an interest in hearing your voice through dreams. I pray that you continue to save lives through them as you give them dreams about people around them and even their own lives. God, thank you for many people you've spoken to about our lives personally You didn't give us a dream, but you gave somebody around us that loved us a dream to help save us and warn us about something. We want you to continue to do that. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for loving us. It is your good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Therefore, it is your good pleasure also to give us dreams and to give us the interpretation thereof. Lord, I thank you that people's lives will never be the same after this teaching. But I pray for the man of God that his life will never be the same. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, we bind every demonic spirit that attacks them at night, that try to keep dreams from them. I bind the demonic realm that's trying to close the heavenly realm from God speaking to them. Lord, I pray and use the keys of the kingdom. I open the heavens. I open the spiritual realm for them to hear clearly and plainly from you through dreams in their sleep. I rebuke every perverted spirit. I bind succubus and incubus. I break Leviathan and Jezebel and every other python spirit that tries to choke out the voice of God and smother and suffocate the words that he's speaking to them. Give them peaceful sleep. Let them rest deeply, I pray, in Jesus' mighty name. And I pray, Jesus, as you promised me in heaven, I pray that you will visit them face to face. That you will comfort those that are listening to this in their dreams. That you will visit them in dreams like you did Solomon and gave them wisdom and riches. You visited them in a dream and told him, ask what you will. God, have conversations with them while they're asleep. Visit them in the Oshiketekiai. Give them appearances and visitations. Lord, I thank you for this. Their life will never be the same. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Apostle, for gracing us. I know I've been truly blessed. I don't know how many times I'm gonna go back and listen to this, it's truly an honor to have you on. And for those who are listening, remember, Apostle Taylor mentioned about the Miracle Crusade against cancer that's coming up, August 13th through 15th. August 13th through the 15th. Make plans, get a bus. You know, this is definitely an event you don't want to miss. And if you know anybody, any relatives who have cancer, please bring them. Bring them. If you have cancer, bring yourself. Like Apostle Taylor had mentioned, that principality is definitely being broken over our nation. Amen. I'm noticing a lot of people are becoming more and more afflicted by this spirit, and I thank God for the mobilization against the spirit that's causing cancer, this infirmity in the people of God. Amen. That principality, its powers, is being broken. Amen. And I thank God for that. Also, Apostle Taylor is coming to Virginia, amen, in September. He's coming to Virginia in September, amen. Make plans to attend that. That is going to be on the 14th, 15th, 16th, and 17th, amen. We're going to be hosting him for a revival, and I so look forward to that one as well, amen. It's going to be in Norfolk, Virginia, amen, and the address is 809 Norchester Avenue. Amen. That's where the facility is going to be. 809 Norchester Avenue. That's in Norfolk, Virginia. Unity and Christ Family Worship Center open up their facility to us. Amen. To host the man of God. So I definitely look forward to these two events that are coming up. And I definitely want to encourage you to be a blessing to Apostle Taylor's ministry, Joshua Media Ministries. Amen. He has an awesome ministry, awesome staff of people that has gotten behind the vision. Amen. And is pushing it forward. I'm telling you, I know from experience, it's good ground to sow into. Amen. It's good ground to sow into. So definitely, I want to encourage you all to go to his website and make a donation. And not only that, but get some of those teachings too. You know, like I told y'all earlier, my wife and I were racking up on the teachings. Amen. And it's really revolutionizing our life and our relationship with God. And if you have not gotten that book, Face to Face Appearances from Jesus, you missing something. Amen. Get that book. Matter of fact, get a couple of copies and give it to somebody. And also the book, My Trip to Heaven. But do not read My Trip to Heaven until you've read Face-to-Face Appearances from Jesus. Amen. Definitely get those books. It'll richly bless your life. And definitely give it to somebody who you know will need it and will benefit from it. Apostle Taylor, thank you again. Thank you again just for gracing the line. Amen. And we look forward to everything that God is doing in you and through you to bless the nations. All right, y'all.
God bless you. Thank you so much for having me on. I love you.
I love you so much. I love you too. All right, y'all. We are concluding our broadcast of Advancing the Kingdom Radio. Amen. Be looking for the link, amen, that we're going to be posting where you can go back and actually listen to this again. We're going to be posting it on Facebook. All right, y'all. Until next time, amen. Just remember that Jesus loves you, and so do we. We're signing out. God bless you.